in chapter 7, I believe it was, we're in. We had started talking about David and Jonathan, right? And so tonight we'll start in the second half of that chapter, and we begin to cover the accurate mental attitudes. You got sound?
Yes, sir.
Good. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can successfully navigate us into the spirit world. Holy Spirit, illuminate my mind, illuminate my heart so that I can speak what you want me to speak. Illuminate their ears and their hearts so they can hear what you want them to hear, and that together we can accomplish what you want to accomplish tonight, Father. Jesus, as always, you put us in the best position that you can, that we can possibly be, which is we are the righteousness of God through you. Thank you for the price you paid. And so may the price that you paid benefit us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn me to Ruth, the first chapter. Last time we were together, we were talking about the accurate principles of covenant. I'll briefly go over them just to refresh your memory. I think that's what our exam was on, correct? Chapter 7, was it? Or chapter 8? Chapter 8? Okay. All right, good. Accurate principle of covenant was their heart was connected through frequency of the spirit, knowing true affection, love, and care for the person. Covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Covenant needs two parties in total commitment to walk together. Covenant is enhanced by the spirit. Covenant pays the way for each other. I think this, yeah. And any deficiency in our presence. Did we go over that last one? I don't know if we did. Any deficiency. I thought I got an asterisk here and I want to make sure I didn't cover that. Any deficiency in our present covenant relationship can manifest in the next generation. I didn't cover that, did I? I did. Mephibosheth. Yeah. I kind of mentioned it. Did I go into depth? Did I? Okay. Okay. Because that is important. Because I'm a firm believer in Galatians 6 and 7, if you don't know already. I quote that scripture about every time we're in here. God is not mocked, for whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so a lot of times we put burdens on our offspring or the next generation because of what we've done in our lives. All right. Some of us are dealing with issues that our parents put us in. So when you come in a covenant, you already have enough issues you're dealing with on your own. You don't need to add nothing. And so you want to make sure that, and this is the way covenant is. I mentioned this before, that you have to be real when it comes to covenant, especially with God. You can't be real. You can't be nothing else but real. And the reason why is because God cannot allow us to work part of his covenant or be covenant when we want to be covenant, and be non-covenant when we don't want to be covenant. Right. And so it's a double-edged sword. So either you giving all or you giving nothing. Yes, sir. Right. See, it's better for you to be one or the other. It's not good to be in the middle. Right. Either you're going to be a heathen, and if you're going to be a heathen, do it all with all you got. Or you're going to be in covenant with God and do it with all you got. Because if you're in covenant with God and you start living the life that God wants you to live, you remember that you have an enemy. Enemy sits there and waits for a reason to accuse you. See, that's what happened to Job. The enemy was sitting there looking for a reason to accuse Job. Are you seeing this? And so we can't give the enemy no reason to accuse us or any of our offspring. So when you come into covenant with God, it got to be all or nothing. Because here's the thing. If you don't come into covenant with giving your all, listen to me, that with giving your all, you leave Satan room to accuse you. And when you leave Satan, see, once again, we talked about this before. God is first a judge before he's our father. The reason why he's a judge first is because everything has to be just. Everything has to be ruled fairly. So, and this is the reason why Jesus died on the cross, to shed his blood for us, so there could be some unfairness. It is, literally, if you look from the world perspective, it is unfair for you to sin and be redeemed. Because look how the sin treat people who sin. They won't judge them. They want to. But God said, if you ask me for forgiveness, I'm going to judge you. I throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. You see? So the blood of Jesus gives us an unfair advantage in life, which is good. Because without the blood of Jesus, we doomed. So we've been given an unfair advantage with the blood. But I don't want myself, I don't want to leave Satan any opportunity to accuse me. See, so therefore, that's why the law of Galatians 6:7 is so important. Whatever a man soweth, that shall also reap. So I don't want to sow nothing that either I or any of my offspring have to reap. Is this making sense? See, covenant makes you be real. Either you're going to be all or be nothing. You can't be in between. In between, people get in trouble. Yes, sir. Satan ain't too much messing with heathens. Come on, now we got to be real. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We know I'm telling the truth. We know heathens right now that do all kind of stuff and don't nothing happen to them. Because Satan realized they're already on their way to join him in hell. So he don't need to fight for them. So he don't really need to make their life that miserable. Am I real? Yes. But when you say I'm going to live for God, you become an enemy to Satan. And that's when he begins to look for reasons to accuse you. So I don't want to give him no reason to accuse me or any of my offspring. So that's why I have to give all in covenant. It can't be half. It can't be one quarter. It can't be 7/8. It got to be all. Because I don't want to leave Satan any room. That's why, once again, this thing has to be a heart issue. God, search me. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way. Now watch this. Wicked way don't necessarily mean sin. Wicked just simply means twisted. See if there any way that's taking me away from where you called me to be. God, I want everybody out of my life who's trying to get me out of your will. I want everything out of my life that's trying to get me out of your will. I just want it all gone. Because I don't want no room for error. Is that making sense? And so this is why in covenant you have to give it all. It can't be partial, can't be a part of it. It can't be when you feel like it. You know your feelings are fickle, right? Feelings are just a product of what you're thinking. So if you're feeling a certain way, that means you're thinking a certain way. So if I want to change how I feel, I got to change how I think. All right. Now on to the accurate mental attitudes of covenant. This is very important. This is how we ought to think about covenant. These principles that we're about to go over is principles. And then the author Apostle Jonathan David did an excellent job. I know God touched his heart and touched his mind when he wrote this book, because I haven't found another book yet that is as thorough on covenant as this book is. This book turns over every rock. It opens every closet door that we could possibly hide behind. It eliminates all excuses, which means it puts us in a position to give all. You see, in Ruth, the first chapter, we're going to use this as our story. All of us have read the story of Ruth and Naomi, and we basically know it. But over the next, I guess tonight and next class, we will kind of go over this chapter, because this is very important. The right mental attitude. If you don't have the right mental attitude of covenant, listen, I hope you listen to me, Internet. If you don't have the right attitude with covenant, you will get shook. Because once again, you have to remain the same no matter what happens around you. Yes, sir. That's how breakthrough come, when you remain the same. When you remain the same and you have the same attitude when stuff ain't working for you, as you do when stuff is working for you, then you can find yourself overcoming everything that ain't working for you. Is that making sense? Number one, we have to follow those we have covenant with. It can't be a sometime thing. It can't be. I feel like it now. I don't feel like it then. We have to follow those when covenant. Watch this. Go to Ruth, the first chapter. We already there. Look at verse 14. Now, setting this up, let me explain to you why this is so important, what we're about to read. Jews are not a race of people. Whether you like to believe it, you know, it's not a race of people. Jews are a collection of races of people that cut covenant with God. Jews are not one particular color. If you do your research and history research right, you'll find there were all nationalities of Jews. What made a Jew in the Old Testament different was when they left their pagan gods, they left their pagan countries or whatever you want to call it, and they said, I love the God of Abraham. So that means they had people from all different walks of life, all different nationalities, all different races, all different colors that became Jews. It's just when we get in our today we like to say there's only one type of Jew. But that's not true. So my point for saying it is this. In this 14th verse, we start off seeing where Ruth is now talking to Naomi, and Naomi, they were married to her, Naomi, two sons. Of course, they died. Naomi said, I ain't got no nothing else for y'all. I ain't gonna have no more kids, so y'all can go back where you come from. All right, watch this. And they lifted up their voice, verse 14, and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth did what? Clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her, her people, and to right, and unto her. Now, this is important. Going back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. So here you see how the Jewish nation grew. When people were affected by who God is and what God benefit God is to them, they began to cut covenant with him. All right. But I want you to see what Ruth did as compared to Orpah. Orpah went back. Ruth said, no, Naomi, wherever you go, I go. Wherever you lay your head, I'm going to lay my head. Now, the only thing that would make somebody do that is if that they see God is working in their lives. See, so now it's amazing to me how people can see God working in their leader's life. And then as soon as something don't go their way, they forget that. Are you seeing this? See, number one, we have to follow those we have covenant with. We not lead. Follow. Are you seeing this? God will not chase after you. You're going to have to chase after him. God is not going to force you to follow him. You got to choose to follow. Watch this. I like this statement. We will visibly and consciously connect and pursue those who are part of our lives. I'm going to read that again. We will visibly, consciously connect and pursue those who are part of our lives. So that means I will consciously pursue the direction my leader is going in. And people are going to know it. Not because so much about I'm talking about it, because my life is remember, harmony. Everything is working, but I'm not letting nothing get me out of my harmony. I'm not letting nothing or anybody get me out of my harmony. See? You have to pursue those who are a part of our lives. There, watch this. There is an active approach to those whom we are in covenant with. Lord spoke to me, Holy Spirit spoke to me just yesterday morning. I was meditating on 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. Love is always an action. All right? It's always an action. If you ever hear anybody, Holy Spirit told me, if you ever hear anybody say they love you and don't do nothing about it, that means what they really means is they respect you, but they don't want to be involved with you. When somebody say they love you and have no action to show that, all that's saying is they respect you, but they don't want to be involved with you. See, so a lot of times we say we love our leader. But if our leader moves in a direction that we don't want to go, then is it that we just respect them and don't want to get involved? Because if you love them, they make that turn, you making that turn. Because love is visible. Love is visible. Love can always be seen. It's often talked about, but love can always be seen. We have to actively follow those who we have covenant with. Is that making sense? I like number two, or in the book as he lettered it, not B. We are inseparable from those we have covenant with. Look at verse 16 again. I like it. Look at verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't make me leave you. Don't force me to leave you. Or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Now watch this now. Watch this. Verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more, if aught but death. What? What? The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death, if anything else but death separates you and I. That's some strong words. I made that same commitment to my wife. Lord, if I ever mess up, kill me on the spot. I'm serious, very serious. So guess what I ain't gonna do? You ain't that fine. I'm very serious about this. It's funny, but I'm very serious. I made the same commitment to my wife. Look, I'm not going out like that. Ruth told Naomi, the only thing that's going to separate us is death. That's powerful words. We have to be inseparable. Now, why is that? Why is that? See, God is a progressive God. Other words, God is always moving forward. He's always going to another place. God is not a God that stands still. He's not a God that just say, oh, even when God, he created Eden, but then he said, this ain't good enough. I need to do something else. So he made man. You see what I'm saying? So God is not a God that stands still. He's a progressive God. And so in God being progressive, do you know why it took so long for Jesus to get here? See, it was 2,000 years before Jesus hit the scene. Do you know why it took so long? Because of us. Because of man. Because God will start them on a pathway. Then man decide they won't do something else. So then God got to bring them back to the pathway. Is this making sense? So the reason why we have to be inseparable from those we're in covenant with is because God is a God of progression. You must come to a point of maturity in your life to where you cannot turn your back on your leader. The only way I turn my back on my leader is if God himself comes down and said, you need to change direction. Because we're going to see further in the chapter, there are two reasons covenant is separated. It's only two. I don't know where everybody get all these other excuses from, but it's only two. One is death. The other one is sin. If the leader gets in sin and don't want to repent or change, then God would give us a right to walk away. And of course, if the leader died, what you going to do? You know. But that's the only two. So I don't know what all these other reasons people come up with. So I have to come to a point of in my life of maturity to where I refuse to turn my back on those who I'm in covenant with. I refuse to. Remember now, once again, one of the reasons for covenant is to provide security and protection. Nobody wants to be alone. So true covenant allows a person to grow in God. Watch this. Allows a person to make mistakes and be held accountable. And no, that's it. Make mistakes and be held accountable. Not just make mistakes. Make mistakes and be held accountable. You have to be inseparable from those you're in covenant with. The two reasons the author mentioned, and I want to jump on this a little more, because in the body of Christ, because we have this so much of a self-centric idea of church and self-centric idea of the kingdom, that we don't have a real understanding of covenant from God's point of view. Once again, there are only two reasons. There's only two reasons: death and sin. And the sin part has got to be carried out to a point to where you know there's no point of return. Yes, sir. Because you got to remember now, Noah was in sin. But his son walked in on him and tried to judge him. And God ain't said nothing to Noah. God dealt with him later. But at that point, God was more angry at the son than he was Noah. Because at that point, the son was supposed to provide security and protection. Are y'all seeing this? See, this is important. We live in a society, such an egotistical society and such an individualistic society, that we're more concerned with what other people think about us than what we think about ourselves. So we always want to be on top of everybody else. We want to be above everybody else. We want to make sure we're ahead of the game. Well, a lot of times being ahead of the game don't make no difference if you ain't going nowhere. Is this making sense? Number three. We are connected together in destiny with those we have covenant with. We're connected in destiny. Other words, the reason why we connected is because God has a bigger purpose. And if either one of us are out of place, that purpose cannot be accomplished. That's why it took Jesus so long to get here. Because people kept getting out of place. People who are connected together in destiny are moving in the same direction and course and are partners in destiny. Watch this. Well, I love what the author says. We are joined together as a winning team. So that means if you're losing life and you connect with who God tells you to connect to, you become a winning team. That means everything that you was losing, you got to start, it's going to start turning around to winning. See, people don't see the apostolic is powerful. The apostolic, when turn to Matthew 6:33. Turn to Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. This is by far my favorite scripture. By far. Yeah, I know other people got all deep scripture, but this here one is my favorite scripture. Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? His right way of doing things. And what's going to happen? Okay, so if that's the case, that means whatever in life that I was trying to work on and I was trying to work out, if I simply take my focus off of that, right, and put it on what God focus is, that means I now give God the right to come in and change everything that's not going right for me. If I allow God to use me in the flesh, who I am, when I say in the flesh, I'm talking about in my flesh and blood, to enhance or to push his agenda in the earth realm, that means I give God the right to come into that same earth and change everything that's not working in my favor. Where did that principle come from? It came from Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth. So God says, if you help me solve what I want to solve in earth realm, then I can come and solve what you want to solve in earth realm. Are y'all saying this? Whatever I'm dealing with, if I say, God, what will you have me to do? Because see, a lot of times we turn our focus on trying to pray for that issue. And watch this, watch what really happens. When we turn and begin to pray on that issue, that issue expands. Instead of us going to God and say, God, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. So I'm not going to worry about this anymore. God, I'm going to focus on what you want me to do. See, anytime, watch this. See, it's very, very simple. It's very, very simple. Satan only accuses you for two reasons. There's only two reasons why Satan accuses you. One is because I made a decision that opened the door for Satan. Right? That's easy to find out because the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's also a convictor. So if there's something in my life, God, search me, oh God. Know my heart. See if there be any. So God will reveal that to me because it's unfair if God don't reveal to me a wrong decision that I made or a wrong act that I made or a sin that I committed that I don't realize I committed. God has revealed that to me. So I got him beat there. The second reason why Satan accuses you is because God is getting ready to do something significant with you. That's the only two reasons. So now watch this. Really, both reasons, I go to God and God, what is your heart? Because really, if it's something I did, God will tell me. Right? He'll reveal it to me. And watch this. If it's something God is getting ready to do with me, it's best for me to quickly find out what he wants to do with me so I can do it and open the door for God to come and change what's in. I hope y'all hearing this. See, is this making sense? See, the apostolic is so important because it puts us in a position to maximize who God designed us to be. When I say I'm willing to be held accountable, when you say I'm willing, first of all, I'm willing. I'm willing. See, that's the first thing. I'm willing. See, if you're not willing, there's nothing else we could do. Because, I'm training my kids now about having responsibilities. It's one thing for me to tell you. Okay, if I have to keep telling you, that means I'm training you. But at some point, it should become where you want to. I should have to keep telling you take a bath. At some point, you should want to. See, if you're not willing, and I gotta keep telling you, so let's take this into adulthood. I don't know why I have people in LT. I don't know if your pastor might have started in your church or not, where we do the group meet, where we texting and praying. If I got to keep telling you and reminding you, that means you're not willing. Because here's what we know about human nature. Human nature will always do what they want to do. Human nature, we always going to do what we want to do. I don't hear all of you talking about, well, I don't know if I can make it. But then, I don't know if I can make it to church. But you see him at the mall. Girl, can you give me a ride to church? Well, how you find a ride to the mall? Are y'all seeing this? We are connected in destiny with those we have covenant with. There are dreams and plans that God has for us that can only be unlocked through the apostolic, can only be unlocked through covenant. Wow. Come on. Can only. How I know? If Ruth would have went home, she would have not been in position to see Boaz. Ruth, if you read, you see Ruth became part of the lineage that led to Jesus' birth. See, if she had not stayed, there was a plan that God had for her life that can only unfold in covenant with Naomi. If she had not, see, this is why when God speaks to you about connecting to your leader, God has already planned this out for things that happen in your life that you haven't even dreamed about, that you haven't even thought about, that you had no clue you're going to get to that level of life or that intensity of abundant life. But it's because of that's the real importance of connection. It's not about control, or it's not about God ain't talking to you. It's about two parties coming together to complete God's agenda. But in completing God's agenda, God won't leave us empty handed. Mm-hmm. Y'all seeing this? Those who misunderstand covenant come together in relationship for a different agenda. When a couple marries, they have started a journey towards destiny. Are you hearing this? Marriage is not the end of the journey. It's the beginning. When couples marry and do what? Settle down. I'm reading right out the book because I want you to see this. Settle down. It reveals a lack of foresight and divine purpose. And I see this so often. The woman will develop her own plans while the husband does his own thing. They are on two different arenas doing two different activities. Y'all seeing this? It makes no sense being connected to anybody that's not going in the same direction you're going in. All it's going to cause is misery. It's going to cause misery and contention. Watch this. Every action, every plan, every activity of even one partner must motivate all involved in covenant to get closer toward the fulfillment of destiny. Very powerful. So, in other words, in my actions in covenant, it should never be, I should never do anything that would deter somebody else from not wanting to be in covenant. I should never be the wild ace. Unpredictable. Just doing whatever I want to do. I need to make sure that I am acting accordingly that will add fuel to everybody else around me wanting to be in covenant. Number four. Got 12 minutes left. Number four. We carry the same concerns as those we have covenant with. Oh, this one gets them. Especially with Apostle Thompson, this one gets them. How in the world are you going to be connected to Apostle Thompson and have a problem with money? Oh, you would not believe. You would not believe how many times I've seen people connect to Apostle Thompson and then develop a problem with money. Why? What'd you come for? Why? You already, the way you found out about him was the money cometh man. What you thought he was going to be talking about? See, you have to have, when you come into covenant with somebody, you have to have the same concerns they have. If you don't have the same concerns, then there's really nothing we have in common. There's no further we can go. Are y'all seeing this? Ruth had the same, watch this. Even more, Ruth was more concerned about making sure Naomi was taken care of. See, she was concerned. Ruth was concerned about what she wanted. See, Ruth was concerned about Naomi because really, in biblical days, it was the son's responsibility to take care of the mother once the father died. So Ruth took it upon herself to fulfill. This is covenant. This is even in death. Her husband gone. She's still holding on to what her husband's responsibility was. See, this is powerful. See, people don't understand why Ruth wound up in the position she was in. She wound up in that position because Ruth was covenant, full of covenant. She was full of commitment. She was full of, I want to be where God is. I want to make sure that I'm doing everything God is asking me to do. So now she stayed because she wanted to take care of Naomi. She wanted to fulfill her dead husband's responsibility. That's covenant. Then she said, Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you lay your head, I'm going to lay my head. The only thing that's going to separate us is death. That's it. And people, my God, that's why Naomi was able to speak up on Ruth's behalf. That's why she was able to tell her where to go glean, what to say, how to dress. See, too many in today's society want to connect to their leader and want their leader to vouch for them without going through no fire with the leader. This is the very passage of scripture where all them jackleg preachers got this term from. I want to glean from your ministry. What? Y'all missing the whole point. Ruth was gleaming from Boaz's garden or pasture or whatever because Naomi, who she was in covenant with, had gave her covenant or apostolic instructions. You can't glean unless you connect it. Otherwise, that's called stealing. Are you seeing this? I don't have time to go there. We got 7 minutes. I don't have time to go there. We talked about this before, but this is a great point to reiterate. If you go back and read, I think it's in 1 Kings about Elijah and Elisha, you'll see God spoke to Elijah and told Elijah to do 3 things. He told Elijah, I want you to anoint this person as king. I want you to anoint this as a king, another one as king. And I want you to go and I want you to find Elisha, the Tishbite, and I want you to anoint him. Right? That's who's going to follow you. Do you realize that Elijah only did one of those 3 things? Go back and read it. I'm about to teach you covenant. Teaching covenant. We're inseparable from those we have covenant with. We're connected in destiny with those we're in covenant with. We follow those we have covenant with. All right, watch this. This is about to make sense. God told Elijah to do 3 things, but Elijah only wound up having time to do 1. And the one that he was able to do was to anoint Elisha. Elisha was the one that anointed the 2 kings. Wow. See, I'm talking about agenda. So watch this. What reason does Elisha need with a double portion if he don't have the same concern as Elijah? So that's why, in order before you receive the grace of your leader, you must have the same concern as your leader. Because the only reason why your leader is anointed or graced is because they have that concern. So if I don't have that concern, it's no reason for me to carry that grace. Now, if I want the grace without carrying that concern, that means I'm not agenda minded or covenant minded. I'm really about me. The reason why Elisha was able to ask for the double portion is because he had the same, not only just the same concern, he was really concerned about Elijah and making sure Elijah accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish. If you go back and really read that story, you'll see that even asking for the double portion, and Elijah said, if you see me when I'm gone, you can get it. He saw Elijah when he was gone and got the double portion, but still was heartbroken because Elijah was gone. Are y'all seeing this? So if I don't have the same concern with those who I'm in covenant with, I don't need their grace. See, there's no reason if I'm not concerned But what apostles concerned with, Apostle Thomas concerned with, I don't need to access his grace, because the purpose he was, the reason why he was anointed is what he's concerned about. The burden that God placed on his heart. So if I don't have that same burden or that same fire to eliminate poverty. If all I want the anointing for is to fill my coffers. Then God know I can't be trusted with that grace, because then his work going to stop. Because as soon as I get my coffers filled, I'm done. Is that making sense? Go to Philippians 2:20. This is where you do not want to be. This is Apostle Paul talking. He needs to move on to other things God wanted him to move on to. But look what he said. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Do you realize that, and see, I can tell you this, and it don't matter to me. I can tell you the answer to this test, but you're still not going to pass it if your heart ain't real. Sometimes your leader going to make a change, go in a direction that's going to make you question, should you be here? That's just to see where your heart is. Because you have to be like-minded. Paul was telling him, I don't have anybody. I want to leave you, but I don't have nobody like Timothy, who I know Timothy would pastor like I would pastor. Other words, Timothy would, in the back of his mind, when he comes to doing something in the church or doing something to the Philippians, Timothy would say, let me understand and think what Apostle Paul would do. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, it puts you, the one Apostle Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ. What's the purpose behind that? Yes, we can hear God. I can hear God. I definitely can hear God. But I'm not graced to hear God like Apostle. See, in a spirit world, we all created equal, but we're not all graced equal. hear me, internet. We're all created equal, but we're not all graced equal. And so, watch this. Oh, I love this. I don't need to be an apostle if I'm connected to an apostle. If God allows later on, if I need in an office, I'm willing to, but I don't have to, because when I'm connected to an apostle, it makes me apostolic. So when I'm walking in my life, I walk heavy just like apostle walk heavy, because I'm connected to him. Now watch how this makes sense. I'm connected to an apostle and connected to the agenda God gave him. So watch this. When I do that, I become valuable. So once I become valuable in the eyesight of God, God don't want nothing hindering me from helping an apostle fulfill his assignment. So this is why I'm apostolic when I'm walking in my life, when I'm walking in my lane. Because as I'm walking in my lane, the same grace that is on apostle rests on me, because when apostle goes, I go. So if Satan decides to try to get in my way, thank you, Holy Spirit. So when Satan tries to get in my way, he's not just seeing me. He's not just seeing me. He's seeing me and apostle backing me up. Are y'all seeing this? So this thing on covenant is not personal, but then it is personal. I don't come in covenant for personal reasons, but I benefit personally. Is that making sense? Watch this. Number five. Just got through saying this. I ain't realize this was the next one. We partake the same grace as those covenant with. Go to Philippians 1. How much time I got left? That clock threw me off. It stopped. Yeah, what time is it?
It's 7:36.
Oh, that's it. I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. That clock. This clock said 11:58. I'm thinking 11:58 counting down. So I'm done. So we'll take up here. Put a mark there. So if I come back and ask you where we left off at, you'll know. Number five, we partake in the same grace as those we have covenant with. Y'all have a good night.